If you got the church app, you can open up the sermon notes there and you'll see today's message called The Crossroads of Faith. And we're going to be looking in the scripture. If you got your paper Bible with you, turn to Numbers chapter 13 and we'll begin in verse 1. In Numbers chapter 13, there's 33 verses and part of that section is talking about the names of the tribes and those who are leaders in those tribes. It's going to be going out to spy out the promised land that God has promised for them. So when we read the scripture, we're going to kind of skip that part for the sake of time. But there's two names that we want to make sure we keep in our mind that would be mentioned in those 12, and that is Caleb and Joshua. So kind of let those two names stay in your mind. This morning, as we're on this focus about crossroads, we're looking at the crossroads of faith. And one of the most important crossroads we'll come into our life is the crossroad of faith, of whether we're going to put faith in God and accept the gift that Jesus Christ gave his life for us. We'll also encounter many crossroads in our life that will be crossroads of faith. And that is whether we will take the road of faith in God or whether we'll choose another road. And many times that road may be choosing a road of either faith or fear. And that's what we're looking at today. We're looking in Numbers chapter 13 when the children of Israel came to a crossroad. They came to the River Jordan, and the River Jordan was a crossing point for them to get into the promised land that God had for them. But first they went in to spy out the land to see what it looked like. And it represented a point whether they were going to allow the fears that they saw on the other side of the Jordan to keep them from going in, or whether they would have faith in God and faith what God had promised them, and to go into that land. So we experience those same crossroads in our life many times, the crossroads of faith versus fear. And I have found that the outcome of fear has the same outcome many times about foolish decisions in our life. And as we look at the children of Israel, as they're at that brink of getting the promise that God has for them, they will not only be overcome with fear, but they'll make some foolish decisions. And they go hand in hand. I have, a matter of fact, there's a commercial I've get tickled at on TV that I have seen that kind of represents that pretty good. It's a Geico commercial, and many of you may have seen it before, where it starts out with these young adults. They're like, they're panically in the dark, running for their life, and they come into this open area, and there's what kind of looks like a scary-looking house, and there's a barn, and there's a car running. And as they come up, and they're kind of frantically trying to decide what they're going to do, one says, "Let's go hide in the attic." And the other one says, "No, let's go hide in the basement." And then the girl says, "Why don't we just get in that running car and get in it?" And one of the young adults says, "Are you crazy? Let's go hide in that barn behind those chainsaws." And so they run and they hide behind the chainsaws, and then the camera shows a mass chainsaw massacre guy. He raises his mask and goes, they have had fear, and fear caused them to make a foolish decision. And even the mask chainsaw massacre guy couldn't believe his eyes of how they allowed fear to cause them to make a foolish decision. And so God has revealed to me over the years that fear and foolishness are like twin siblings. When you look at the outcome of fear, it's the same outcome of foolishness. They're like kind of like twin siblings that have the same father of influence. It's the devil. And the outcome is many times the same type of outcome. And when we look at this scripture today in Numbers chapter 13, we'll see that the children of Israel came to this crossroad of faith versus fear. They chose fear, and it caused them to make a very foolish decision that caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And as I mentioned, these children of Israel, they went and spied out the land, and they sent a representative from each of the 12 tribes. So 12 men go in to spy out the land. And when they get to the land, they see it's just like God said. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, and there's great fruitfulness in the land. It is a lush land. And when they see it, they also see there's giants in the land. And that's where the fear sets in. And they make a choice that they're not going to go into this promised land. They feel like that they are not capable of doing it. And Joshua and Caleb says, "Let's go get it." But the other ones convince them not to go into the promised land, and the people follow that. As I was reading this scripture, and I was thinking about one day I was at the church, and I was doing some things, and I was outside, and something just kind of caught my attention that relates to years and years ago that our church was going to vote on a decision about doing something, and I knew without a shadow of doubt it was of God and what God wanted us to do, but there was someone and a few other folks that kind of rose up in the church and decided that they didn't think that was a good idea, and they kind of rallied people together, and the decision was made, what I consider one of the most foolish decisions our church made, not to do something that I felt like God was leading us to do. And so that foolish decision has brought about some things that have not been for the best of our church. And it's one of those things, it's kind of like a thing that keeps lingering with you. And I thought about Moses when they came to that opportunity to go into the promised land. And then Moses ended up having to spend the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness because he was not able to lead them in to take a hold of the promise that God had for them. Let's look at this in Numbers chapter 13 and see what God has to say to us about when we come to the crossroads of fear versus faith and how the outcome can change depending on which way we decide to go. And I'm reading this out of the New King James translation in Numbers 13, beginning in verse 1. It says that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel." And I want you to notice there he said, "which I am giving." God said, it's already in the makes. I've already got it planned out. It's kind of like if I said, "Hey, one, how'd you like to have $1,000? "Oh yeah," he says. And if I said, "One, it's already in your bank account," he would be leaving church early. The wording that the Lord said to Moses when he said, "which I am giving to the children of Israel," he was saying, it's already in the bank account for you. And he said, "from each tribe of their fathers, you will send a man, everyone a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now in verses 4 through 16, it tells us about the 12 tribes and the 12 representatives that went through that. There's two key names that are mentioned of Caleb and Joshua. And I want you to hang on to their two names because they are the ones who have faith and choose the road of faith. In verse 17, it says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like.'" Now, I want you to listen here as Moses begins to give them the instructions of seeing what it's like. And everything that he says will have two exact opposites. Something that is very favorable, very good, and that which is the exact opposite and that's not as positive. And so he said, "I want you to see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of first ripe grapes, so they were going into that fruitful land. And notice there that everything he said, "I want you to find out whether it's good or bad, whether they have strong fortresses or they have camps." Everything had two totally opposite perspectives. Verse 21 says, "So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up from the south and came to Hebron." And then it mentions three giants that there were there: Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai. The descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they carried it between two of them on a pole. So the land is so fruitful that they come to this grape vineyard, and when they cut down just one cluster, it is so massive that it takes two men with a pole to carry this cluster of grapes. When I was growing up, my dad had a grapevine, and we would grow grapes, and with those grapes, my mom would sometimes make jelly. Sadly, my dad would sometimes make wine, and with those grapes, I would have to pick them. And I can remember picking and throwing out, because it took a lot of grapes to make some jelly or to make the wine that my dad wanted to make at that time. And here we see that these grapes are so massive that it takes two men with a pole to carry them. Goes on to say they also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. And the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land, and I want you to notice this, after 40 days. 40 days in the Bible, or 40, represents a time of trial and testing. Many times when you see that anything with 40 through the Bible, you will see that it was a time that somebody's being tested. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days without food, and the devil came and tempted him. And you'll see it from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So this is a 40-day period that God's allowing them to be put to the test of whether they'll have fear or whether they'll have faith. The Bible goes on in verse 26, "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And then they told him," the spies told Moses and Aaron, "we went into the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit." You know, sir, there's just one sentence. Everybody catch that? One sentence, one verse. They said, "We went in there, it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit." Then the next verse starts out with the word, "nevertheless." Nevertheless, but. It's a word that means there's a transition from one perspective to another perspective. Now remember, what they said was, it's flowing with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. But, nevertheless, I want you to notice how they go on a ramp after that. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there," which is the giants. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Notice that. One statement about the positive, but they went on a roll about all the negative, all the things about how the city is fortified, the people are strong, they are giants, there are people everywhere in the mountains and in the land of the south, and the people who dwell along the sea. Everything was negative, negative, negative. But verse 30 says, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well over able to overcome it.'" Can you tell Caleb was a little bit different than the rest of them? The Bible goes on to say in verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." They only had one positive thing to say, but man, they had a lot of negative stuff to say. Now, I want to go back to Caleb in that verse 30. It says that Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he tried to rally them on. He said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." There was something a little bit different about Caleb than the rest of those who went out to spy out the land then. And Moses kind of identifies that in the next chapter. You don't have to turn to it, but I want you to listen to these three verses in Numbers chapter 14, the next chapter, verses 22 through 24. This is God speaking about those who were negative versus Caleb. It says, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me wholly, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. You notice there that God identifies Caleb as being different. He said, because he has a different spirit in him. What was that spirit that was in Caleb that was not in the rest of the negative group, that those other 10 that had only negative things to say? I think that spirit of Caleb was the spirit of God, a spirit of faith. Reminded me of a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Here's what it says. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the opposite of a sound mind is a foolish mind. When we look at that scripture, I think Caleb had kind of this 2 Timothy 1:7, and that is, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. No, we need to have faith and let's go in and conquer this mountain. God has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind to think clearly, to think by faith, to react like that. And so Caleb had a different mentality. Caleb represents the person who comes to the crossroads of fear and faith and always chooses faith. When I look at these scriptures, I see that there is this opposite going on throughout the scriptures. Remember, Moses said, go find out whether it's strong or whether it's weak, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether they have camps or whether they have strongholds. And it's that thing about fear versus faith throughout that. I want to give you four things of fear versus faith that I see in these scriptures this morning. First thing that I learned from this is that fear will cause you to be distracted from God. Fear, foolish thinking, will always cause you to be distracted from God. Now, just like that commercial, the Geico commercial, I told you that those young people were filled with fear, and they made a foolish decision and ran and hid behind the chainsaws in the barn. Fear will cause us to make foolish decisions just like that. They kind of go hand in hand. And even though a person may be filled with fear and get scared really bad and say, oh, God, help me, the truth is that even though they may call God's name, fear will always distract you from the things of the truth and the power of God. When you look at these scriptures, when those spies went out to spy out the promised land, when they got there, all they could see was the giants and the fortified cities, and the massive amount of people that there were. Everything was negative. And all this negative stuff had distracted them from God. If you look at these scriptures, you'll not see where the children of Israel went in there and they saw the giants and they said, giants are no big deal for our God because our God is bigger than the giants. You won't see where they said, you remember what God did for us? He has done this and that, and he has provided for us all the way from Egypt to here. Our God can do amazing things. No, they didn't remember any of that stuff. All they remembered was that distraction of the giants. I have told before that on my prayer journal that I keep, that when I have a prayer in the journal and God answers that prayer, I put PTL beside it. Stands for praise the Lord. God taught me a long time ago that when things are challenging in our life and when we come to crossroads in our life, it's very easy for us to get distracted from God and allow fear or foolishness to lead us in the wrong direction. And so I always put praise the Lord, and I keep those prayer journals because I want to remind myself that God has been answering prayer. He did it in the past. He did it last year. He did it this year, and he's going to do it next year. And so fear will cause us to be distracted from God and cause us to forget all those things that God has done, where faith is the opposite. Fear causes us to be distracted from God, but faith will cause us to be drawn to God. When you have faith like Caleb did, remember he had a different spirit inside of him. Caleb was the one in Joshua 1 that was drawn to God and his promises, and they didn't see the giants as much as they saw God's promise being revealed. Caleb and Joshua were the ones that kind of looked at it and they said, man, it is just like God said it was, that it's flowing with milk and honey, that there's giant fruit in the land, that it is a place that is an abundance for us to live. Let's go take it. You see the difference between fear and faith? Fear distracts you from God, but faith draws you to God and it deepens your faith. Another thing I see is, and I want you to really listen to this very carefully, fear will cause you to develop a bad attitude. Fear will cause you to have a bad attitude. I have seen this over and over in my lifetime, that when a person comes to the crossroads of faith and fear, and when fear begins to kind of overtake them, it will cause a bad attitude to develop in the people. And that is, when you look at these scriptures, you can see when the children of Israel came and they began to experience fear, this bad attitude just got worse and worse. And I want you to listen to this. In the next chapter, in chapter 14, after the people decided, you know, we cannot go into that land. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. I want you to listen to what happened in the next chapter. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept all night, moaning and groaning and crying and weeping. And when all that's happening, an attitude is getting worse and worse and worse. Now, Caleb and Joshua are thinking, we got to go get this land. But all the mass of the people are just in fear and griping and complaining, moaning, groaning, and weeping because they are filled with fear. That scripture goes on to say, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Can you see the bad attitude there? They're complaining about Moses and Aaron. They're wishing they had just died in Egypt. It says, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and let's get back to Egypt. Well, that sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? Let's go back to Egypt and let's go back and tell them, say, hey, we're back. We're ready to be your slaves. We made a mistake. Are y'all here? Y'all going to welcome us home? Yeah, I wonder how that would have went. They've chosen another leader because if it didn't go good, they needed somebody else to blame, didn't they? The bad attitude was one that they are complaining about Moses and Aaron. They got a bad attitude about God. They're complaining about God, even wishing that they had died in the wilderness. Whenever you come to a crossroads of faith and fear, if you don't choose faith and you allow fear to set into your life, or you allow foolish thinking to come into your life, you will develop a bad attitude. An attitude like the children of Israel is that you complain, you gripe, you blame everybody else except for yourself. And the truth was, they were their own problem. When we look at these scriptures, we're reminded that fear will cause you to develop a bad attitude, but faith will cause you to develop a positive attitude. Caleb's attitude was one that was positive, and he said, we are well able to overcome it. Caleb's faith was one that caused him to have a positive attitude. And I have found that in people's lives that if you have fear that just consumes you, you will always develop this bad attitude, and you'll have a bad attitude about everything. I have seen it over and over. You have a bad attitude about God. You'll have a bad attitude about the preacher. That's a shock, isn't it? You have a bad attitude about church. Everything is bad, bad, bad. Fear will cause you to develop a bad attitude, but faith will cause you to develop a positive attitude and see all the possibilities. Caleb can only see that the promises of God lay just in front of him. I'll tell you another thing fear will do. Fear will cause you to be drained in your spiritual life. Whenever you allow fear to begin to consume you, it will drain your spiritual life. It will cause you to be one that you are declining, and your attitude on spiritual things is starting to get worse and worse. I have seen it over and over that when a person begins to either come to a crossroad of faith and they choose the wrong path, they develop not only a bad attitude, but their spiritual life begins to get weaker and weaker. They're not spending as much time with God. They're not spending as much time in God's word. They're not spending as much time serving God. And things in their life spiritually begin to go downhill to where it begins to get an attitude that, you know what, I don't even think I want to go to church today. The spiritual life will decline. Fear will cause you to be drained spiritually, but faith will cause you to display a spirit of power. You go back to that scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That power is the power that comes by faith. You know, I've thought many times, when you look at the scripture, the Bible tells us because they allowed fear to keep them from going into the promised land and they wandered around in the wilderness. And the Bible tells us that all the adults that came out of Egypt that doubted God's promises, that they died out in the wilderness except for Caleb and Joshua. Because of their faith, because of the spirit that they had within them, that they wandered around with them. Can you imagine that? You got to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years with people who have a bad attitude and doubts God and try to turn everybody against you. And you wander around. But you know, I get excited when I see that when they finally came to the promised land, the Bible tells us that Caleb spoke to Joshua and said, "You know what? That mountain was promised to me, and I want my mountain." Now, 40 years has gone by, but there's something unique that Caleb says. He says, "I am just as strong now as I was 40 years ago." Now, he's 85 at this point. He said, "I'm just as strong as now as I was 40 years ago, and I want my mountain, and those giants are going to fall." Caleb, even though him and Joshua had to wander around for 40 years with a negative, bad attitude, fearful people of God, it's almost like God allowed them to keep a spirit of youthfulness and positive attitude through that whole 40 years. And then finally, Caleb got to claim his mountain and the giants did fall. Whenever you allow fear to come into your life, it will drain you spiritually. But when you have faith, faith will give you that spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I give you a last thing, and this is very important. If you're listening, say amen. Amen. Fear will cause you to decide for a lesser life. When you come to the crossroads of faith versus fear, fear will cause you to decide for a lesser life. When you look at the children of Israel, they came to the Jordan River. They came the opportunity to cross into the promised land. But the multitude of people chose that we can't do it. We're not going to go into the promised land. And so they wandered in the wilderness for the next 40 years. Now, I don't think it takes a scientist or a highly intelligent person to figure out what is the better life. The promised land that has this abundant of fruit and lush living, or wandering in a desert for 40 years. Which one of y'all thinks the best? I think the promised land is far clearer the better option. And yet fear caused them to decide for a lesser life. To decide to just be content with nothing. To just miss out on all the blessings that God had for them. Fear will cause you to decide for a lesser life, but faith will cause you to decide that God has something better. That's what Caleb's attitude was. God has got something better on the other side of that Jordan River, and I want what's the best that God has for me. Let me ask you a question this morning. Which one would you rather have in life? The blessings, the promise that God has for you, the better life, or just be content with a lesser life. I was talking with some folks after the early service this morning, and this had really grabbed hold of one person's heart. And they were telling me about how that they knew somebody that 35 years ago, they came to a crossroad of faith and they got scared. And they chose not to take the step that God wanted for them. And he said, I can tell you by a testimony of watching their life, 35 years have gone by and they chose a lesser life. If they had taken the road of faith, they would have got all the promises that God had for them. Fear will cause you to decide, to make the choice, to be complacent with a lesser life. Maybe God has something better for you than you even realize right now. And if he is, he's got a crossroad of faith that you're going to have to cross. And the question this morning is, are you going to allow fear and foolishness to cause you to decide for a lesser life? Or are you going to go by faith and grab a hold of the promises that God has for you?